Well, good evening, everyone. God is so good. It's such a privilege to be able to have the opportunity to pray together, to pray to the one true living God. And it's good to know that He answers too. He hears us and He answers. Today, I want to share with you something that's on my heart. Pastor had called me. I was in Oklahoma. I was in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, and I was going to see a friend. We went to watch an OSU versus Texas game, and so he called me during that time, and so he told me, hey, can you speak? I'm lying down on the bed. Something's wrong with my eye. I didn't know how to picture that. Your eye, something's wrong with it. Why are you sleeping? I didn't put two and two together, but he explained everything to me and asked me if I could come and share. And so I'm just honored to be able to come and share. I always say Central is just a wonderful church. I love my family here at Central. I'm from Kenya, but I have a family here at Central, and in so many ways. But I'm just always so privileged to be a part of this community. But Central is also one of those churches where whenever I'm asked to speak, I always say, this is wonderful, but it's so intimidating to speak here at Central, because Central is one of the most stacked churches I've ever been at before. And everybody that's so many people that I respect and love and appreciate that have done so many things and served God and people that I look up to come to church here, and so it's intimidating in a good way, and it's also very humbling. But I thank God that still somehow He's given me something to share with you. Before I go into that, just going into what God wants me to share, I feel God wants us to know something tonight, and so I'll share that with you, and I'll submit it to you, and may you receive it if it fits. But I feel like God wants us to know that we are His children, and that He loves us so much, and that He is always with us, and that He also wants us to know that He is not disconnected from our lives. He is not distant. He's not a God who is not concerned, but He is concerned about your needs and everything that goes on in your life. And He's a God who hears every single thing that you say and actually acts upon everything that you do pray to Him about. And that He wants you to know He is your God, proudly so. He is your God, strong enough. He is your God, powerful enough to accomplish all things that He wants to get done in your life and in through your life. He's not distant. He's not far from you. He's closer to you than you ever knew. And today I feel God wants us to be again like children in our hearts. To know, regardless of how far we feel He is away from us or how difficult life is, but to know that your Father, Abba, is with you. And He loves you very much. God, I thank you that you love us that much. I thank you that you're God, powerful. I thank you that you're God, not distant, but close to us. You have chosen to dwell with us, in us. We are your temple. Lord, I thank you that you not only hear, but even as we heard, as we were praying, God, you are willing, God, to answer us. You are able, God, to be able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And so, Lord, we give you the praise that we have you in heaven. That we have you, the Lord who created all, as our God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being called your children. And Lord, as we share your word, God, I pray that you would use me. And I pray, God, that everything you want done tonight would be done as you please. And Lord, we invite you now through your Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings from my wife and my kids, and I'm a father of four children. I've never been there before, and I'm learning how to be a father of four, and it's wonderful. My children always challenge me about so many things. They stretch me in many ways that I never imagined. I can only imagine what it was like for my parents, because they had 11 of us, and I was 8 of 11, and they put up with me. And they somehow still loved me. So it's a great thing. But the other day, my son Joshua, when you put him to bed, he wants to stay up, and he feels like he has to ask you all these questions. And But he tries to avoid sleeping. And he's gone into the habit now, he's 3 and a half, of getting off the bed and running around in the room. But he hasn't learned to be quiet about doing that. So it's really loud. And so I always, and this is really bad as a parent, I like sneaking up on him. And I always catch him, and he just freezes. And he wasn't in his bed, and the lights were out. I said, "Joshua, what are you doing? Why aren't you sleeping? Why aren't you in your bed?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Because I didn't hear you coming." So I just love the honesty of children. You know, my son, I'm learning so much. And but I get so many honest answers from him. And some I like, and some I don't like. But be as it may, he is a child, and he knows that I love him, and he's just going to be that way. I think God really wants us in our hearts to be children. He calls us his children. I think in life, we face life and we go through things, and there is some of that that is just we're naive as children. You grow up, life hits you hard, and you experience many different things, and you come up with different ways and responses of dealing with life. But in the process, we lose some of that child in us. And that happens. It happens to so many of us. And I'm sure you've experienced so much more than I've experienced. I would probably be the least to be able to tell you how much that I've experienced in comparison to you. But there are some things that I feel like that I remember significantly. I used to have a campus pastor. His name was Joe Zikafus, a wonderful man, discipled us. And most of what I know, I learned from him. He was a missionary in Scotland. He went as a missionary in Scotland, came back, and he had cancer. And we believed in faith that he would be healed. And I remember him going to St. Louis for surgery. And I remember getting a text from his wife and saying that, well, things don't look so good. And I remember us praying for him, my wife and I praying for him. It wasn't until the next morning in staff meeting that we got another text that he had passed away. And I didn't know what to do with that. And so I cried and cried and cried. And I asked so many questions of the Lord. Then, as I continued to grow, I learned sometimes, you know, well, I guess sometimes God just doesn't answer some prayers. I don't know why. And I, you know, you try and formulate your way of dealing with that. Because that is the reality. I've prayed for so many people to be healed, and they haven't been. And I've prayed for others to be healed, and they have been. I don't know how to deal with that. But I know God does. I know God does. There's other things that I feel like I've gone through, you've gone through. Some, there's a time we had here at Chi Alpha, we'd gone through a difficult phase for about 2 or 3 years. We after Joe had left, and I speak really fondly of Joe, so I'll keep mentioning his name. But after he had left, we got a new campus pastor, and then, you know, a lot of things happened, and financially we were upside down, and we were struggling, and basically we were left looking at $1.2 million in debt, and one, those two of us that were trying to hold this thing up together and didn't even know what to do. Central was so key during those times, and Pastor Jim Bradford helping us and just giving us wisdom and praying with us through that. But to the very last day, I remember praying that God would help us not lose the building we had. Everybody told me, Savelle, it's, you know, you just have to face reality. This is life. And it's true. I grew and learned sometimes you need to move on from some things. But there was something else that happened in my heart at that time. And that I felt like there was a part of me, that child that just believed God is able, he is strong, he can do anything, still believed that. But the reality in life was really tough to deal with. And so I decided, God, you know what? I will believe you till the very last day. And so I did, and we lost the building. Somebody asked me the next day, and I ended up saying this, but it has become the thing that now I really hold on to. I said, well, and she said, how do you feel about losing the building? I said, well, you know, we prayed. I believed in God. We prayed. We lost the building, but I was not without faith, and I can live with that, and I can live with that. I feel like that is what God is looking for in us. Life will hit us in so many different ways. We will pray, we'll believe God because we know he's able, but will we lose our faith in him depending on how life treats us, or will we hold on to him in faith? You see, God doesn't want us to only know him, I think, in our heart, but or our minds, but God wants to be the God who is experienced in everyday life. So in other words, that we start out believing God and things happen in our lives, and we know that it's either that, for example, if it's healing, then somebody is going to get healed or they won't. There's two options. And so we know we're believing God, but we know it could go one or two ways, for example. But what happens in between that? I think of that gap in between is where we form some of our responses or how we cope with God and with life. Yes. And that gap is where I feel like many times we sense the distance from God, is where we feel we are alone, is where we stop to pray, is where we start to doubt, is where we start to do all these things. But in that gap is where we really need to hold on. But I'm so encouraged because I know God wants to be known as that God of that gap, that the God who walks with you during that gap, that he never has left you and he plans to be there from the beginning all the way through the end. There's a scripture that I really like, and I am not going to take time to try and give you the best sermon on this. You've heard about Hebrews 11 and you know it very well. Some memorized it and you know what faith is, you know, and we've read it so many times. We've heard it preached so many different ways, and I'm really encouraged and challenged by Hebrews 11. But this something really significant for me in Hebrews 11. Not only what faith is, you know, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, but this is what the ancients were commended for, their faith. And it goes on to tell us without faith that it is impossible to please God. But then it describes some things for us about faith. You know, by faith Abraham, and it goes on. And all these people were still living by faith. Verses 13 it says. But before that, I see two outcomes. By faith, people believed, and God did things. He answered. And then there was another group of them who by faith, they believed. And yet they were whipped. They struggled. All of these things happened to them. They had faith, and God brought the dead back to life. They had faith, and it seems like God didn't answer. And at the end of it, it says, verses 13 says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them. And they admitted that they were alien strangers on this earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I consider myself so unworthy when I look at what these guys went through and everything that they did. None of them, these are well commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. None of them received what they had been promised. And then it goes on to say, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in chapter 12, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I see people that experienced that had faith, and they're commended for their faith. And this is the great cloud of witnesses that are watching us, that we're supposed to now run this race with endurance. And, you know, they were wonderful people, the heroes of faith. But they also experienced what we today experience. Some had the answers, and some it didn't seem have the answers. But they were not without faith. And here's the connection. That is our crowd of witnesses that are watching us. We are to run the race of, we're to run the race with endurance. That it says that God here had planned something better for us, so that only together, us and them, we would be made perfect. And in a sense that we're supposed to experience this thing together with them. That's why God, that's the way God set it up to be. They had faith, whether or not things worked out. I know I've changed significantly since I came to America. And I'm from Kenya. And I'm still trying to figure out why you guys have winter. It doesn't make sense to me. And I can't wait to get to heaven. But I've changed. I've changed in so many ways. We all have changed. We all have experienced many different things. But God remains the same. God still calls us his children. God still expects of us to have faith in him, to believe in him. God is still close to us. God still remains able. God still does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. God is the God who loves the prodigal more than you do. God is the God who loves your son or your daughter that is not living for God more than you do. Jesus died for them. You're alive. You're still here. God loves you. God knows you very well. God knows what you're going through. God is the God who was with you when you lost that job, or when you went through, for example, you went through a divorce, or you're struggling right now, and you're trying to believe God. You said, I trusted you. God is that God who's still there with you. He's the God of that gap in between when you believe and the outcome. And he comes to give you strength. I love what 2 Chronicles says. It says this, that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully devoted to him, so that he could do what? That he could give you strength. And God wants to give you strength today. But there's something that I find that has been very important for me in dealing with that gap where I feel, when I don't sense God, or I'm struggling with different things. And one of those things has been honesty. And I've learned to pray honest prayers to God. There's a time I knew I couldn't say, God, I don't understand this. I just used to say, God, you said this. And it's like as though I was afraid that I'm not having faith by asking God questions or by talking to God as my father. My daughter and son will always talk to me about whatever it is. Some of the conversations are really awkward. I do not want to describe to them why their bowel movements look a certain way. But those are conversations they want to have with me. And I'm their father. Who else are they going to go to talk about things like that? God is your father. And God does not, for one second, he is not deluded to think that you do not struggle in the gap when you're going through a hard time. And so honesty is one of these things that I found to be very powerful. Because it is one of those things that I find, like in Job telling his friends that I'm going to talk to God. And he says that, you know, though he slay me, what am I going to do? Job, he tells his friends, keep silent and let me speak. Then let them come to me. Then let come to me what may. Why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Job in verses 13:3 says, but I desire to speak to the Almighty God and to argue my case with God. And I don't know, I don't have a good theological basis for this, but I'm just saying that I think that God knows you very well and that we need to talk to him as our father. And that is not necessarily negating your faith. But is it at the end of you honestly having a conversation to come back to, where else can I go to? And that is the reality of an honest conversation with God, of honest prayer with God, is that it involves humility in that I don't know the answers. I know I'm not happy. I know things are not working out. And I know, God, you said this would happen and it hasn't happened. And I've been praying for many years. I've been praying for this, for my, you know, for the divorce. I've been praying for healing. I've been seeking you for this, and they died, and or this happened. But God wants us to be honest with him. Granted that we have to be able to respond to him when he honestly speaks back to us and tells us who he really is, as Job found out. But then God blessed him later on. But that's one of the things that I think that I have found, that is just God wants us to be honest. And so there's times that I find that when I'm praying, that I pray to the Lord, and I know you do this, and I'm encouraging you to do this or challenging you to do this some more. That when you pray, ask the Lord, talk to the Lord as though he really exists, as though he really is your Father. God is not too impressed with how we pray. It's our heart before him. He sees us. Psalm 139 tells us all that the scripture tells us. So can we pray to God as though he is there? And can we cry out to God? And sometimes I feel like I'm demanding things from God. God, you said this is the way it is, but you said this, it doesn't make sense. Would you find a way to help me where I am right now? Because I am struggling. And during the times in that gap where I've believed in the outcome, the thing that really has helped me is to know that I can come to my Father and talk to him, no matter what it is. But it is in those times that we lose faith. It is in those times that we normally doubt. It is in those times that we stop to pray. Somebody quoted this, I can't remember who it is. The greatest tragedy isn't an answered prayer. The greatest tragedy is an offered prayer. We need to pray, even when it's difficult. But I think we need to be honest, even when it's difficult, and talk to God. That still is prayer. We're talking to the Lord. But the other thing that I think is so important is that even as it takes a long time for prayers to be answered and it seems really difficult, that there's something about God that I am really, really impressed with, that I love so much about him. One is that God really loves us. He is with us. That is part of who he is. He is going to be with me. I find that to be one of the greatest promises I find in scriptures, that God is with us, that he has chosen to affiliate with me. There's no greater thing in life. There's nothing more humbling than knowing that. And there's nothing more secure. I find so much security in that fact. God is with me. That God is with me. But I know that also God wants us to, as we go through life, as we struggle with different things, God wants us to know he is close to us. God wants us to know he is able. We may grow tired and weary, but we serve a God who is the indefatigable God. In other words, he never fatigues. We grow tired and weary, but he doesn't. And then he tells us something that I find very amazing. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, weary. But he also says, I am gentle and I am humble. Does this sound like a God who is distant or unapproachable to you? Does it sound like a God who is disconnected from what is going on in your life? And then he will give us strength. God wants us to pray, even when it's tough. But we need to be honest with him. And we need to know that he is able, and that he has the power, and that he gives us strength to overcome. Some of my wife's family, without mentioning exactly who they were going through a divorce. Just a bad decision that was made by the husband too. He had an affair. And he left his wife. My wife and I were just married, and we had developed this habit, which is a good habit, that we pray for people, this specific people have specific needs every night. And so we just say, God, put things on people on our hearts, and we'll pray with you for for a long time until the Lord tells us to stop praying. Sometimes we find that God has told us to stop praying. So that we started to pray for them, and we prayed and prayed and prayed every day for a solid year. Exactly a year after that. We prayed in faith, and we prayed that they would come back together, that he would come to his senses. And I don't know how that fit in it. It just messes me up that he'd come to his senses, but he married this woman, and then now he has to divorce her and come back to that. But that's how we felt we should pray. And so we prayed. After a year, exactly after a year, they came back together. Exactly after a year. God does things like that. God does powerful things like that. There are people I've prayed for a long time, and they haven't still been healed. My children will come up to you. If you tell them you're sick, they will lay hands on you. It's time that we stopped giving God limits. I know many times we pray for people to be healed, but how many of you struggle praying for cancer? Is that something that is beyond God? How many of you get tired of praying for a specific need over a long time that hasn't been answered? Is that beyond God? God can. We are people of prayer. We have no one else on this earth to trust in and to talk to and who is able to help. And then we need to be people of prayer in that gap. But during that gap, God is with us. Let's be honest with the Lord and let's receive his strength and his help to help us. Father, I thank you for everybody here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that even as I speak, I'm very well aware, God, that they are people of prayer. That's why they're here tonight, that these are your saints, God, that pray and seek you day in, day out. Tonight, Lord, as I've been faithful to share what you put on my heart, God, thank you. But I pray that, Lord, your word would take root, Lord, and that we would truly be those people of prayer. That, God, even though it takes a long time, Lord, though you tarry in answering some prayers, God, give us strength, help us to be honest with you in our prayer. But God, we know we will hold on to you no matter what happens. Dear Jesus, you will answer. You will do the things that only you are capable of doing, God. That, God, there will be a new move in this church because you, that is your desire. That is not our own man-made thing. God, is because we connect with you and we know you love us. We know you love the lost. God, we know you are close to us. We know you are powerful. We know you are able. So, Lord, we are praying that you would do just your will in us, through us, God. Pour out your spirit in us, Lord Jesus. Today, specifically, I pray for those here that know a prodigal. Jesus, in your name, we pray you would bring them to their senses, God, that you would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Father, we pray you draw them back to you by your love. My God, I pray you surround them with people that know you. Jesus, you died for them, and so we cry out to you, Lord Jesus, hear us, O God. Hear us, O God. I pray today that there would be some that would call their parents and say, I need to talk to you. I need to come back to the Lord. I pray that this would be the year of the prodigal. Jesus, we're praying and crying out to you, no matter where they are or how far they've been from you, that, Lord, you would save them, O God. That you would keep them, O God. That you would bring them to their senses. And, Lord, you would turn them around to be used for you, Lord Jesus. We cry out to you on their behalf. Then, Father, we pray for those that need healing today, Lord Jesus. I pray from those that have a headache to those that have cancer. Jesus, you're the Lord who heals, period. And so we ask you, heal now, O God. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you would purge cancer from bodies, Lord. We pray heal Pastor, God, even Pastor Mike today, God. We pray that you would do a mighty work in their lives, Lord. Those that have even arthritic problems, Lord, there is nothing impossible for you. Nothing too difficult for you. Nothing beyond you. And Lord, we choose to be your people who pray. God, we choose to be those people who stand in that gap, Lord. When you say you can and whatever outcome happens, Lord, but we will be those people who pray. God, we thank you that we are linked in with those who believed you by faith. And now, Lord, it's our turn to run this race. Give us strength to do that. Give us strength to pray. Help us to be honest with you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.